At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm John Batchelor, speaking with my colleague Rachel Lemusky, who is the chief data scientist at Flux. That is a firm that concerns itself with responsible AI. And one of the ways to do that is to concern itself with people who are using AI, not as a crutch, not as a helpmate, but as the thing itself. Rachel, one more experiment accidentally came up, and I'm reminded of it in your article. I was very carefully presenting headlines similar to the one I've written now. And I wrote it and put it up. And Claude wanted to correct it, so he asked permission. I said, fine. And the version he came back with, I gave him a word limit. Well, I said, 50 words, now do it in 30 words, now do it in 25. Each time, Claude failed to be less wordy. He couldn't do it. He was limited in his ability to generate the right words so that it didn't have to take three or four to get it done. And I was struck by this again. Claude has no experience in the world. Claude has actually never had a conversation. Claude is a summary of conversations that may or may not have the same context, the same culture, the same background, the same demography. That suggests to me that Claude is random us. Is that a way to think of Claude?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. It's missing the context, right? It's training on all of this data, right? You don't, for example, writing a headline, want it to sound like a movie script, right? But it doesn't know that, right? And so if that's the closest thing I've found, maybe it will use that. Same thing with the directions, you know, how it, you often see situations with large language models where you'll say, you know, make me a headline of 25 words, and it comes back with something of 40, and you say, well, that's 40 words. And it says, you're right, I'll try again. And then gives you a different 40 words, right? It's certainly not consistent.
There's something of the puppy about Claude sometimes. I was speaking with a friend who has a border collie, a female, 10 weeks old. And she listens for tone, not words, because, you know, she hasn't got a vocabulary yet. And there's something like that in Claude. Now, let's be practical about this. People are being warned about Claude or ChatGPT. Don't take it as accurate. The word hallucinations come up. Are you also seeing, because you're a professional looking at this, are you also seeing people acknowledge the fact that Claude or ChatGPT are not very smart, that they're inexperienced in the world and they stumble around randomly without any direction? Is that lesson out there?
I mean, I think people are well aware of it at this situation, but still using it to take shortcuts. But you certainly see situations where even people are submitting papers for peer review that say things like Claude being a puppy. I'm happy to help you with that. Here's an abstract of 250 words. For sure, they're just copying and pasting. They know better, right? And that's part of this MIT paper as well. Like, clearly people were cutting and pasting or taking other shortcuts. And we know that for all of human experiences, not just writing papers, when you take shortcuts, you generally tend to retain the information less well. The information tends to be less informative, right? It tends to be less deep. So I think people know, but they're tempted. They're tempted to just use it as a crutch and not as a starting point where they're then going to expand and edit and make it stronger.
Yes, the saying the brain atrophies is a grotesque version of what happens when you're cutting and pasting. I don't think the brain is required at all, just some careful use of the touchpad. Okay, let's go back to your experience. My job also involves talking to authors about their books on the weekend at length. 75 minutes is a normal time to talk about a book, a narrative history. When I'm talking to the author, I've just finished his book. I've taken notes. I've read it carefully. And he or she may not have touched it for a year. And so I prep them early on about what's interesting me and what's not. And we go through it, and the author is an expert of the book, a narrative history, for example. And at the end of it, we're both very pleased with it. Now, that information I stored in my brain, I don't have that in a week or 2 weeks. That was just then. And I was able to discuss the matter, at least at the level of asking questions of the author. Claude doesn't have any of this. None of this is true. Claude hasn't just read a book and learned things correctly with tone and meaning and the intentionality of the author. Claude is random. I'm not trying to put him down. I'm just saying, with this idea of artificial intelligence, I'm emphasizing the word artificial. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. So Claude, and again, all the large language models are lossy, right? They're not storing everything. They're sort of compressing it down to what they find is the most relevant. And so for sure, there are questions that when you ask it, and then, as you're saying, tries to expand it back out, that's where the hallucinations come from, right? It's not storing everything, not even trying to store everything.
Then let's return to MIT Media Lab. What do they want us to take from this? That the future is Eloy? That the future is a few experts who've read books like old-fashioned people and then everybody else skimming along being facile? I'm reminded of a Woody Allen movie, I think it was Manhattan or something, where he came up to a couple in the village and he said, "You're so beautiful, you're so happy together. How do you do it? What's your secret?" And they said, "We're facile." Is that Claude? Is that the future? Is that how Claude and ChatGPT are going to be? This is the facile version of life that'll get you by? Are we going to have that lesson?
Yeah, I mean, so the authors actually rushed this article out without peer review because they felt like this was an indication of a likely decrease in learning skills. It's certainly an indication that using LLMs reduced the cognitive effort required for writing, as I said. And then, you know, the less effort in a task generally translates to less long-term and poorer long-term knowledge retention. Certainly something that teachers are seeing, teachers and professors, where they're worried about students using large language models heavily for writing their essays, not bringing a critical eye, using additional resources to it. And then when it comes time to then perform on an exam, they don't really remember it because they didn't really put very much effort into it.
So it's a warning for the classroom then. And the classroom extends into corporate life. We can both tell, I believe, by now, Rachel, when somebody's turned a PR over to ChatGPT. It's wordy. That's the dead giveaway.
I mean, there's a fair amount of marketing slop. It's just people saying, here's a little bit about my product, write up a PR. Yeah, this for sure is happening. And it's for sure happening in the classroom, too. I went to a conference a couple months ago where professors were talking about how they were changing their curricula to make students engage more deeply with the content.
Rachel Lemaski is the chief data scientist for Flux, teaching responsible AI. Claude is for amusement.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.